Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Mario Alberto Aviles, Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Aviles shares his thoughts and reflections on this week's gospel, as well as other issues and events happening in the diocese.
Good morning, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View. I am Jesse De Leon, here with Father Richard Libby, the pastor of St. Elena of the True Cross of Jesus. Father, welcome back to the program. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you, Jesse. How are you doing?
You're doing well this morning, and thank you for being along on this fourth Sunday of Easter. We will now have Father Libby proclaim the gospel for today. Father, if you would do that for us.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "Amen, amen, I say to you. Whoever does not enter a sheepfold through the gate, but climbs over elsewhere, is a thief and a robber. But whoever enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens it for him, and the sheep hear his voice, as the shepherd calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has driven out all his own, he walks ahead of them, and the sheep follow him, because they recognize his voice. But they will not follow a stranger. They will run away from him, because they do not recognize the voice of strangers." Although Jesus used this figure of speech, the Pharisees did not realize what he was trying to tell them. So Jesus said again, "Amen, amen, I say to you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved, and will come in and go out and find pasture. A thief comes only to steal and slaughter and destroy. I have come so that they may have life and have it more abundantly." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. And again, the familiar imagery of Jesus is the good shepherd and the sheep and the gate, all these different things all connected in this gospel. Father, if you would offer your reflection on this.
This particular passage is a little bit interesting because this fourth Sunday of Easter is called Good Shepherd Sunday because the gospel reading every year, there's a three-year gospel cycle for Sundays, and every year it speaks of Jesus basically as a shepherd in relationship to the sheep. But in this one, he doesn't speak of himself as a shepherd as much as he does the gate. Whoever does not enter sheepfold through the gate but climbs over elsewhere is a thief and a robber, and then he claims, "I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate." And I listen to this, and I see if Jesus is the gate, then those shepherds who are in union with him, those shepherds who do their work through him, just as you walk through a gate, all right? The shepherds who do their work through him, and of course in union with him, are the ones to whom the sheep will listen. At least that's the way that Jesus wanted it to be. He doesn't want the shepherds going off on their own, teaching what they want, doing what they want without reference to him. And so Jesus said, "I am the gate." So he's kind of a reference point in that sense for the shepherds.
And that gate offers protection as well.
The gate offers protection, absolutely. It marks a home, and the church is our home. Yes, all of those things come into play.
And also the imagery of that also providing us with the kind of stern warning from Jesus about strangers and to not listen to those who may be proclaiming the word or seeming to proclaim the word, but not having good intentions. He calls them robbers and thieves, marking that line in the sand. All of us can definitely glean something from that, always feeling like we want to be led by our shepherd and in a way that we can connect with him and with others as well, building community and building the church through that unity as well.
Yes, yes. And again, when Jesus says, "I am the gate for the sheep," and in my sense of that is that Jesus wants us shepherds to enter through him. If we are all united in entering, you know, and coming and going through him, then we are all united in what we are doing in terms of being shepherds to the flocks that have been entrusted to us. I have one, you know, in a sense, Jesus has entrusted a flock to me, the flock of my own parish, and the priests the same for each of them. So yes, that's definitely in play. And those who don't go through the gate, as he says, are thieves and robbers. Those are the ones who try to steal souls away from Jesus, whether they intended that way or not. But they're trying to do things their own way. And Jesus was very clearly talking to the Pharisees here, although they didn't quite pick it up. The Pharisees were not interested in leading people to God. The Pharisees overwhelmingly were, each one was interested in his own glorification. And they wanted to seem like almost as if they themselves were the saviors. They were not ready to accept Jesus as a savior, as we know. That's the reason they always made trouble for him and tried to stir people up against him and things like that. So they did not want, they didn't want Jesus telling people that he was the Messiah and that he was the Son of God and that they should listen to him. Because when people listened to Jesus, they started moving away from the Pharisees. And the Pharisees didn't like that.
Right. Interesting that we still are faced with these types of situations in our modern day culture, mm-hmm. where all the different voices are out there trying to lead us away from Jesus and trying to give us messages that are contrary to him, mm-hmm. yet they try to dress it up and they say, well, this is the way to go. But in our hearts, we know that we have to stay true to what Jesus is calling us to do.
You see, and Jesus took the trouble to make sure that this passage happened, that he said the things he said, mm-hmm. and that John, who was, remember, John was the, who wrote this, was the apostle who was closest to the sacred mm-hmm. heart of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And so he understood Jesus' heart very well. And so when John recorded this for us, he wanted us to make sure that this is, that Jesus is telling us, there's one thing Jesus is telling us to say. Jesus is telling us the way he wants things to run in his church. Not, so-and-so over here is doing one thing and so-and-so over here is doing something else. And the two have no connection with each other, no relationship with each other. Rather, he wants us as shepherds to enter through him, the gate. He mm-hmm. wants the sheep, the people who have trusted us, to come to their shepherds through the gate. And he himself is the gate. And anyone who tries to take people away from that and just tries to distract you from Jesus, those are the ones that Jesus calls thieves and robbers. And so this teaches us something about the church too, because the church has the authority to teach in the name of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And when we hear all these voices out there and we wonder what we're supposed to be doing, what we're supposed to be listening to, we know that if we listen to what the church is telling us, and when we listen to those who are who have been commissioned by Jesus through his church to preach and teach in his name, that is by far the safest way to go.
When he does give us that image of the gate, it gives us a sense of order, security. Mm-hmm. It gives us a sense of passing through the proper way, so
exactly.
to speak. And if you read that very quickly, you don't really catch that, but the gate really does offer a very, very significant foundation mm-hmm. upon which all of these other things that you speak of, the church, its structure, mm-hmm. the way we follow Jesus, it just can't be somebody else preaching in his name, but there's somebody way on the left or way on the right or wherever mm-hmm. they might be. And in doing that, that's how we can obviously identify with Jesus. He identifies with us. He mm-hmm. creates that opportunity for us to give us a sense of security, mm-hmm. even with passage through the gate to him and those who follow him.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I would agree. And I'll tell you something else. I had an insight in this particular passage that I'd never had before, mm-hmm. Just recently, that I think also speaks to this parable referring to the church. Jesus calls himself the gate, and then he talks about the shepherds, and he talks about the sheep, and he says the gatekeeper opens it for him, and the sheep hear his voice. Well, I want to suggest to you, although Jesus didn't say it at the time, and nobody maybe guessed it at the time, uh-huh. the gatekeeper is Peter. The gatekeeper is the Pope. Okay.
Right. That's true.
Okay, because did Jesus not give Peter the keys to the kingdom? Well, of course he did.
That's true.
And so the gatekeeper will be the head of his church, his vicar on earth, who is the one who opens and closes, just like Peter is said to be the one who keeps watch at the pearly gates.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so here's the gatekeeper, clearly separate from Jesus, who himself is the gate, separate from the sheep, separate from the shepherds. Okay. Obviously, the Pope was a shepherd, and mm-hmm. as he rose up to be the supreme shepherd here on earth, at least. So I want to suggest to you, when he talks about the gatekeeper, he's actually talking about the Pope.
And an obvious connection to us in the modern day, too, and mm-hmm. and how we follow what Pope Leo XIV is doing. And Peter was the first pope, and, mm-hmm. and Pope Leo is his successor. But still, we are within that structure of the gate, the gatekeeper, the flock, mm-hmm. everything Jesus established back then, we are still honoring and practicing today.
Right.
And we see that when we connect that, a passage such as this in your insight gives us a deeper understanding, a deeper affection for what the Pope does for us as the gatekeeper on earth today, here yes. in this modern time.
Yes. And, you know, it's worth noting that it was just a little over a year ago that Pope Francis died.
Right.
Who at that time was the gatekeeper, if you will. Mm-hmm. And so when there's a vacancy in any one of these places, except there's never going to be a vacancy at the gate, because Jesus is always the gate.
Right.
But when there's a vacancy at the gatekeeper, Jesus will fill it after a little, you know, passage of time, as, you know, according to our customs and traditions of the Catholic Church. You know, I would argue that Peter was the original gatekeeper as such. We know he died. He was crucified. But then there was another pope after him. There was Linus. And then so on and so on.
The long succession.
Yes, right. Cletus and Clement, et cetera, and so on, down to the modern day. And so a little over a year ago, the gatekeeper died, and the church mourned him. And then not quite a year ago, we're coming off of that first anniversary, you know, in a couple of weeks or so, we got a new gatekeeper,
right,
our new pope, Pope Leo XIV.
As we connect all of that together, it's such a beautiful opportunity for us to reflect on not only the beauty of what our Pope does for us, but it's also keep them in our prayers, keep all the popes, not only just our present one, but everything, the legacy that they've created through faith and everything that they have done as gatekeepers for Jesus. And we thank you, Father, for that insight. We're going to take a short break, and Our Shepherd's View will continue. We will be right back. Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View on this fourth Sunday of Easter. I am Jesse DeLeon, here with Father Richard Libby, who is the pastor of St. Elena of the True Cross of Jesus. Thank you for taking time away from your parish this morning, Father, to join us on Our Shepherd's View. A lot of great things going on over at St. Elena. Such a vibrant parish, and you do such a wonderful job, everyone there. Such a great community of faith. And we are talking about today's gospel from St. John, and talking about Jesus and the gatekeeper, and how he leads us through, and he's always our shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
And we were discussing that before we took a break.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And again, this is Good Shepherd Sunday. It's a couple of things. It's Good Shepherd Sunday because the readings always have to do with Jesus in relationship to the sheep. He compares those who follow him, including you and me and mm-hmm. all faithful Christians throughout all time, as he compares them to sheep.
Mm-hmm.
And it is not an insult. I'll talk more about that in a minute. But it is okay. It's not an insult or anything like that. And so the readings on this fourth Sunday always have to do with that. But also, let me mention now before I don't want to forget this, today is also the World Day of Prayer for Vocations. Fittingly enough, since it is Good Shepherd Sunday, and we want more good shepherds to answer God's call. And, you know, Jesus speaks about hearing the voice of your shepherd in this passage. And so sometimes, you know, when you go to church on Sunday, you hear the voice of your shepherd, the shepherd who's assigned to your parish.
Mm-hmm.
But then sometimes young men will hear the voice of Jesus himself, the good shepherd, in calling them to the priesthood. And we certainly want to encourage those who might think they're being called to the priesthood to explore the call and to pursue it if they feel that it's strong enough. I should just mention that it's never anything that we ever want anyone to feel compelled to do.
Right.
That would not be a good thing. And you know, sometimes I tell the young men in my parish that you don't sign your life away the moment you talk to a vocation director for the first time. Okay, you're not signing your life away. And it's important when you go to, if you talk to a vocation director or even your own pastor about the possibility of the priesthood, it's important that that these young men realize that we want to help them find their true vocations. And if the young man who's studying for the priesthood or his formation team or whatever, anyone feels like, hey, you know what? I don't think you're called. Or the young man says, I don't think I'm called. Then at that point, it is not a matter of twisting his arm and saying, go reconsider. No, if a young man thinks he is not called to the priesthood,
mm-hmm.
then he needs to step away from the formation he's undergoing. And that's fine. That is fine. There's no bitterness. There's no hard feelings. We just want – that's what a seminary does very well, is to help a young man to discern what his authentic vocation is. Is he called to the priesthood, or is he called to the married life or single life or whatever it may be?
Right. And that's a beautiful insight too, Father, because also recently the Andrew Dinner took place,
mm-hmm.
and it was an opportunity for young men in our diocese to come together and have that experience mm-hmm. over a very no-pressure atmosphere, mm-hmm. having dinner. Of course, Bishop Mario was there and other priests as well. And it's such an insightful thing to mention on this day as we pray for vocations today, because a lot of times it's that starting point. It's that first step, as you said. Mm-hmm. And maybe if you wouldn't mind maybe offering us a little bit of an insight into your vocation and your discernment, because I think discernment is something that people tend to forget about when they hear the word vocation, mm-hmm. that it's followed by a very, very deep and meaningful period of discernment, which for some people may last a little longer than others. But in your journey, how did that play into your eventual becoming a priest?
Well, I was raised Catholic, a Catholic mm-hmm. family. I'm mm-hmm. the second of six children. My parents always made sure we got to Mass every Sunday.
Right.
And I started really getting more passionate about my faith around the time I was 20 mm-hmm. or so. And I started thinking, okay, what can I do? I was in college at the time. I was thinking, what can I do so that in my work, whatever work I do, what kind of work can I do that is going to be of benefit to the church? Mm-hmm. That was very important to me for a while there. And it took me several years before I finally made up my mind, you know, I think God is calling me to the priesthood. And so I spoke to the vocation director of this diocese, who at the time was Father Danny Flores, who's mm-hmm. now Bishop Daniel Flores of the Diocese of Brownsville. Mm-hmm. And I met with him. He gave me an application, and I filled it out. I had to provide some references. And the process actually went very quickly. And between the time I met with him, in June, and by January, I was in the seminary.
Wow.
Okay, just that quickly. Since I already had a college degree, I was what they called a pre-theologian. I didn't go in immediately pursuing a degree, but rather I went in. I had to get a certain number of hours in philosophy before I could start taking theology classes. Mm-hmm. And the beauty of my discernment was this. I was in two different seminaries. First, I was at Holy Trinity in Dallas for my philosophy, and then I was at St. Charles Borromeo in Philadelphia mm-hmm. for my theology. And the beauty was this. It went so smoothly. Everything just, not that there weren't challenges or hard times or even times I thought, okay, am I doing the right thing?
Right.
But those were fairly few and far between. And it went so smoothly that when I realized I was getting to the point where I needed to make a decision, I said, well, I'm here. This is what I'm doing.
And right.
I'm in the seminary. I'm enjoying it. I get along with the men I'm in the seminary with. I'm enjoying the studies. The formation program agrees with me. Everything just seemed to fit. It just mm-hmm. seemed like a really good fit. And so so I persevered and went all the way through, and I was ordained to the priesthood on June 5th of 1999.
Wow.
And so that was a real blessing for me. That and I know not everyone has an experience like that, but for me, just realizing almost how smoothly things were going, and that it was, as I said, it was just a good fit. Mm-hmm. It was just a good fit, and it was not hard for me to make that decision once I was there and well into it and all that kind of thing.
So that whole process is something that we are praying for today. As you said, today's World Day of Prayer for Vocations, and having that opportunity to do that and specifically pray for the young men and the young women too. Mm-hmm. I think sharing your story, Father, gives us an opportunity to really identify with the process. I think a lot of people don't really think about the many steps that are involved, but also the fact that you having gone through it and having everything fall into place for your experience, I think mm-hmm. gives us a sense of how God's hand was working through all of mm-hmm. your experience and how it all came together. And I'm sure your family was quite happy for you as well.
Yes.
And having that Catholic faith as your foundation growing up. So today, as we continue to pray for those vocations, and you can always talk to Father Libby, of course, Father James Vasquez, the Director of Vocations for the Diocese of Corpus Christi. And everything can be found on the website at diocesecc.org/vocations.
And Jesse, I'd like to add one more thing, if
yes.
I might. Pope Leo has written a letter. He wrote it a month or so ago, but he wrote a letter that is a message for the World Day of Prayer for Vocations. And he encouraged people to create conditions in which vocations can thrive. So what does that mean? Well, in my parish, we have a vocations team. They're very, very good, and mm-hmm. I'm very, very pleased with them. And this is just what we're doing. In the parish, they're kind of, as I put it, they're keeping the drumbeat of vocations alive. So mm-hmm. little things come up every once in a while, and they try to promote vocations, primarily to the priesthood. But the very first thing the vocations team did after I formed them was they honored couples who had been married over 60 years on World Marriage Day, which is close to Valentine's Day. So each such couple got a bouquet. And but the point is, we all want to be aware that everybody has a vocation. There's four primary vocations: holy orders, which I'm in, marriage, the single life, and the religious life. That means mm-hmm. consecrated religious brothers and sisters. And so the Pope is asking that all people work to create conditions in which vocations can thrive. And so people listening to this, if you're wondering, well, what can I do for that? Okay, my suggestion is just go talk to your priest. Just say, hey, Father, I want to help vocations. Is there anything I can do?
Mm-hmm. And I think it's one of those things where anything that is offered in that purpose with that goal, I think will bear fruits. It's the planting the seeds and making people aware. I think a lot of times we don't really know where to start, but taking that first step and having that really beautiful letter that the Pope wrote as the foundation and as the guide to where we go with our young people and the mm-hmm. future of the church, because essentially it is the future of our church.
Absolutely.
We're talking about being able to guide these young men and women in the steps that you yourself took, mm-hmm. Father, which I think is beautiful. Again, thank you for sharing that story, because mm-hmm. I've always wanted to ask you that, and here we are behind two microphones sharing your story, but still, it's good to know that. And of course,
thanks for putting me on the spot.
Oh, yeah. And well, it's kind of, you could consider it maybe a precursor to your anniversary of ordination in June.
Thank you.
So but again, thank you for what you do and for what you do to help all of us in the parish continue to follow the Lord. And of course, everyone at your parish and beyond, thank you for what you do. So as we get close to the end of our program, Father, any final thoughts?
The final thought is just kind of a recap of some of the things I've said already. Again, mm-hmm. We always want to remain close to those shepherds that are duly commissioned by Jesus mm-hmm. by virtue of being in holy orders mm-hmm. and by, you know, when priests are in union with their bishops and the bishops are in union with Rome, then we have a very good system in place. We have a system that's working the way that Jesus is, has asked us to do it. And, those are the authentic shepherds. Those are the shepherds who come and go through the gate, and Jesus is the gate. Shepherds, whether priests or bishops or even the Pope, shepherds who try to do their work apart from the gate, without going through the gate, are setting themselves up for failure. And so we don't want that to happen. So it's important to pray for priests and bishops and our Pope, and to show them the respect and obedience that is, you know, not so much a matter of honoring them, but it's a matter of promoting your own holiness and ultimately your own sanctification and salvation.
Thank you, Father. If you would now end our program with a prayer and a blessing.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending your Son to be our good shepherd so that he might show us the way and care for us along the way, protect us, bring us to good pasture, and see that we have everything that we need. We ask you to make us obedient to him and to his word as spoken to us through his church. And we ask you to inspire the hearts of all young people, open their own hearts and their ears to hear your voice and to answer what calling you each one of them may have from you. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end.
Amen.
May Almighty God bless you all in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Mario Alberto Aviles, Bishop of Corpus Christi. Our Shepherd's View is a production of 89.5 KLUX and the Diocese of Corpus Christi Office of Communications and Public Relations. You can hear the podcast of this program at goccn.org. Thank you for listening.